Welcome to episode 10 of Solice's UFO podcast. You can find all the links to the information that's provided on this podcast at solice.podomatic.com. That's solely.podomatic.com. On today's show, we're just going to discuss a little bit about a few things that I've come across. You're probably going to get a lot of this, and you've heard it before. A lot of it was recorded a while back, so it's probably going to be pretty old. We also discussed the Antarcticans, which is an alien race from Antarctica, so stick around for that one. And I will also talk about a few things that were in the, I guess you could say, the UFO news here as of lately. So stick around for all these exciting topics coming up. This comes from cosmicparadigm.com/UFO news, and it's labeled Flying Saucer Spotted Over Portsmouth. A photographer who stopped on a whim to take some pictures at night might have chanced upon a real UFO. The picture appears to show a mysterious object in the shape of a flying saucer. UFO experts say it could prove the existence of the phenomenon. Hab Rahman, a keen photographer, was stunned to see the image in the background when he looked at some pictures he had taken at night. The 28-year-old from Portsmouth, Hans, was driving home from work through thick fog when he decided to stop and get some snaps of the eerie setting. He pulled up and went to take the shots from a car parked near Commercial Road, Portsmouth, just after midnight. It was not until he got home and transferred the shots onto his computer that he spotted the mysterious glowing object. Mr. Rahman said, "I didn't spot anything when I took the picture, but then, later on, when I looked a bit closer and zoomed in, there it was. I've never really believed in UFOs, but this is a bit weird and quite freaky. I'm not really sure what to make of it, but I can't think what else it could be." Mr. Rahman stopped off at his car park in Portsmouth on his way home to take the pictures, but it was not until he arrived home that he spotted the UFO. Hilary Porter from the British Earth and Aerial Mysteries Society believes this sighting could be the real thing. She said, "It would be very difficult to fake that photo, and the UFO is at tilt, which is the way they normally fly. You don't normally see that sort of UFO in this country. We generally get orange orbs. So the photographer who got this photo, he's got quite a coup." The Ministry of Defense would not comment on individual sightings and said they could not check if there were any aircrafts in the vicinity at the time. An MOD spokesperson said, "The MOD examines reports solely to establish whether UK airspace may have been compromised by hostile or unauthorized military activity. Unless there is evidence of a potential threat, there is no attempt to identify the nature of each sighting reported." So there you have it. This comes from cosmicparadigm.com/UFO news. And let me just say something about the lady, Hilary Porter, who is from the British Earth and Air Mysteries Society. She says that it would be very difficult to fake that photo of the UFO because it's at a tilt, which is the way they normally fly. And, I mean, I guess you've seen a whole bunch of UFOs flying because that's what she's describing it as. You know, that's the way they fly. And, I mean, I don't know. And then she talks about how in that country they don't usually get, or they don't usually see that type of UFO, which, again, you know, she must be an expert in this. Then she says something about the photographer who got this photo has got quite a coup. I don't even understand what that means. But as I was saying, this is at cosmicparadigm.com/UFO news. And they actually have a couple of pictures. One is of the original picture that was taken by this Rahman guy. And it's pretty far away. They've got the UFO circled and it's real small. But then they have another one where they've zoomed into it and you can see the shape of the UFO. And it's pretty interesting to see that. It looks more like a glowing object to me than a solid object. But take a look at cosmicparadigm.com/UFO news and check it out and tell me what you think. Also, on the same website, you find something that says the MOD revealed the number of reported UFO sightings in the UK has risen. The number of reported sightings of unidentified flying objects in the UK has soared in the last year, with people calling the Ministry of Defense with concerns about bright white lights, strange triangular-shaped objects, and even alien abduction. The MOD took details of 135 events in which mysterious objects were seen in our skies by witnesses, including three pilots. Just 97 were reported in 2006. In the last year, there have been reports of a flying saucer in Staffordshire, small stationary aircraft in Derbyshire, and a fast-moving triangular-shaped object in West Yorkshire. In the West Midlands in December, a woman was terrified when a UFO shone a light into her window. She said that the UFO then shot off fast at first to the northeast and then started to move at a slow pace. Meanwhile, in Duxford, Cambridgeshire, on April 12th, a witness reported seeing 50 objects, each with an orange light, assembling in the sky before ascending. On another occasion, two pilots in different planes flying over Alderney in the Channel Islands reported seeing two bright orange aircrafts, and another pilot reported seeing a strange balloon-like object when in the air. Hilary Porter from the British Earth and Air Mysteries Society, here's Hilary again, said that she is not surprised by the rise in the number of UFOs reported up to the MOD, as they have been inundated with similar reports. We have had a call after call from business people right down to ordinary folk in their cars. There have been some very close encounters that have been quite unnerving for the people involved. We have had other people reporting orb sightings. And again, you can get that from cosmicparadigm.com/UFO news. So check it out.
Hey everybody, this is TJ, host of the 13 Skulls podcast, a show where we take a journey into a world that's just beyond comprehension, the world of the paranormal. So join me at www.the13skulls.com. But we'll get you back to your show right now with your host, Soli J.
The other day I came across something at mysteriousuniverse.org about a sighting in a place called Mescala. It's something that happened in early January 2008. And I also found this same thing because of that. You know, I was able to find it somewhere else. And I came across a website, www.unexplained-mysteries.com. And there I found a little bit more about what happened, and this is what it says. The city of Chilpancingo, state of Guerrero's La Crónica Vespertina newspaper reported the sighting of an unknown light that landed at Cerro Pai de Minas, emitting flashes for over 30 hours and causing alarm among the locals. The event took place in the early morning hours of December 31st, 2007, in the town of Mezcala, Guerrero. According to the news report from journalist Francisco Rangel, dated January 10th, 2008, the phenomenon was observed by the entire town, cutting across all ages ranging from children to senior citizens and including mining engineers and laborers at the Los Filos gold mine. Eyewitness accounts suggest that drivers halted their vehicles all the way to the federal highway in order to take a look at the intense light source that traveled across various parts of the locality at an estimated altitude of 300 meters. They describe a saucer-shaped craft that passed over the town square slowly and silently before landing on a hill known as Pie de Minas, where it emitted flashes for over 30 hours. According to the newspaper story, witnesses to the phenomenon complained of an eye irritation despite the fact that they saw it at a considerable distance. Not only that, but there is also talk of fluctuations in the level of electric power in spite of the fact that no voltage changes were detected at the electric substation belonging to the Comisión Federal de Electricidad. Many people took photos and videos with their cameras and cell phones, but their recordings were affected and distorted by an alleged magnetic force. They added that even the pictures taken with analog cameras were overexposed. According to the newspaper article, the object was seen by most of the population, ranging from small children to the elderly and entire families, seen at considerable distances by the luminosity that affected the eyes of many residents and the fact that the electric levels of all the homes dropped whenever the light's intensity increased, ranging from a soft shade of light blue to a white and phosphorescent blue, acquiring yellow, orange, and soft red tones. Many video recordings exist, in spite of this, taken by people who managed to record it from their homes at a distance of 4 or 6 kilometers away. The footage shows a round light, whether white or light blue, with strange figures at its core that were described by those who peered at the object through binoculars as something resembling a cat or a being with horns, causing the greatest degree of fear among the locals, rendering them unable to sleep for the 2 following nights. The sighting was not made known beyond the confines of the town until the first days of the week, although reports of alleged meteorite activity had been received from Amohileca and Xochipala on January 1st. Residents of Mezcala say that the inclement weather, strong, cold winds could have been caused by the luminous UFO, which appeared to have landed on the hill known as Piedemina in the wilderness known as La V, or the V, from where it was filmed by many locals with their diminutive handycams, who were clearly afraid that something awful would happen or that the vehicle's crew would harm them. Alfonso Ramirez Maya, 35, a farmer and board layer, had a chance to film the UFO with his video camera and his daughter's cell phone. He showed us the images taken and those in which the light can be seen moving, but with deformations of the images on the cell phone. The white light resembles a balloon that changes shape despite their best efforts at remaining steady. The images were obtained from their house on Calle Francisco Villa, Colonia Cabeza de Culebra, 5 kilometers from the sighting, 1 kilometer distant from the Mexico City Acapulco Federal Highway that passes through Mezcala. Another person who had the opportunity to record a video was Jesus Santana Hernandez, who filmed the UFO as it flew over the community, but sent the video to Houston so that a relative could make it known through a local TV station, since some thought they could profit from selling the images. However, the majority of the locals who have the evidence are hesitant to disclose it, as they do not wish to earn themselves a poor reputation or be dismissed as lunatics. However, they're all willing to discuss the experience after being told that an effort is underway to document the sighting, and even willing to accompany a research group to the site, as it is a rugged terrain filled with rattlesnakes and scorpions. Many of the people interviewed, among whom were serious individuals of all ages, youths, and even children, offered interpretations of the story that agreed with one another's regarding the sighting of the light on the hill and its transit over the community of Mezcala, further agreeing with the fear and consternation they experienced for the 30-hour span in which the flying saucer was present. Many residents of this community stated that there were several occasions in which some people tried to reach the place where the UFO touched down. In the night and evening of January 1st, when up to 20 or 30 pickup trucks laden with people tried to reach the site where the light could be seen, the light simply went dark. There exists, however, the report of a group that came within 50 meters of the vessel described as a flying saucer, whose color was similar to that of brilliant galvanized sheet metal with a whitish or light blue light. These people brought with them video and still cameras, but their vehicles were left without power, with no electricity and stalled engines. Furthermore, camera batteries were inexplicably drained despite having been charged and returned to normal operating conditions later on. Bold youths who dared approach the UFO clearly heard 2 dry metallic sounds emerging from the interior of the alleged craft. This spooked them into hiding under their pickup trucks and even made them weep like children, as they believed the occupants would emerge to seize them. This fear prompted them to flee the site as best they could, and they refused to talk about it. Closer images were obtained from videos taken from the slopes of Piedemina, 1 kilometer distant, where the object can be seen as larger, resembling a large white circle of encapsulated light. Symbols can be made out, and even the shape of a face drawn on a card by another witness, having the shape of a feline or a horned being that appears to be at the center of the light. So the story keeps on going, but I'm going to stop there. It's just things, this is just so amazing. If this, I don't know what happened out there, but this is the first time that I've ever heard of anything like this, where something or a UFO or an object is sitting on top of a hill for over a day, you know, sitting there for 30 hours, and still, even though it was there for 30 hours, nobody was really able to get good video or approach it, whether it was from fear or these temporary EMPs or something that happened to the cameras and the trucks and their cars where they were being stalled. So, I mean, it's a really interesting story. I do wonder what happened to that video that one person had recorded, and of the actual flying saucer or whatever it was that was passing overhead, and he sent the video to Houston. I wonder what happened with that. I tried to look it up on YouTube, and I did find something by Googling it, and it said that it had been removed from YouTube. So if anybody out there has looked this up and has found a video, please send me the link. I'd really like to see it. Now, as far as the one video where it says that you can make out symbols, and even in the middle of the light you can see a horned being or a feline cat, that's pretty scary. I mean, I can understand why those guys would be weeping like children hiding under their truck when, you know, you don't know what in the world that is, and it's just something just so paranormal to us. You know, it's obviously something out there. It kind of seems like whatever it was there, like they were having problems or something. This saucer or flying device was having some kind of trouble and they probably just had an emergency landing and they were working on it or something. That's what it sounds like to me. But I found this story really interesting, so I thought I would share it with you guys. If anybody has any more information, please send it my way at soliej@yahoo.com, and I would appreciate it immensely. Thank you.
The Antarcticans.
This is allegedly a secret area of operations for both human and reptilian beings. It is said by some that Aryan Nazi scientists actually developed disc-shaped aircraft capable of very advanced aerial performance, and that swastikas have been seen on a few aerial discs they may have piloted by purebred blonde, blue-eyed Aryan race. There appears to be more than one blonde human society involved in the UFO scenarios, and especially subterranean human societies may have developed blonde hair due to lack of sunlight. There does not seem to be anything more than a peripheral connection between the Antarcticans, the Talosian, and the Pleiadian blondes. The Antarcticans may consist largely of batch-consigned, pure-bred, blue-eyed blonde Aryans who became victims of Hitler's obsession to create a super-race, and as suggested by Harbinson and others, most of these may have been controlled through mind manipulation and implants, being human drones who are used to keep this hidden society functioning. A massive joint humanoid-reptiloid underground system called the New Berlin is said to lie below the mountains of New Schwabenland, Antarctica. It is said by some sources that this joint human-alien force has spread terror through this sector of the galaxy, conquering and committing untold atrocities against the peaceful inhabitants of other worlds. The famous abductee Barney Hill, who along with his wife Betty was abducted by Zeta Reticulan Greys in 1961, stated under regressive hypnosis that he had encountered an evil-eyed German Nazi working with the Greys on board the craft. It is claimed that the original treaty with the Greys was established by the Bavarian Thule and Illuminati societies as early as 1933, and this collaboration was brought into America via the CIA, which was established with help of American Nazi 5th Column agents as well as European Nazis who were brought into America through Project Paperclip and other operations. So there you have it, the Antarcticans, and I got this from www.burlingtonnews.net/secretsufo.html, and I'll have the link in the show notes at solij.podomatic.com.
Would you like to listen to the Paranormal Cafe live Sundays from 10 p.m. to midnight? That's Eastern U.S. time. Go to WCOJ.com. Find the Paranormal Cafe page from the menu on the left. When you get to the Paranormal Cafe page, click on the purple banner and listen live to our internet stream. Again, that's WCOJ.com, to the Paranormal Cafe page, to the purple banner, and listen live to the internet stream Sundays from 10 p.m. to midnight. Instant message during the show to ParaCafe through AOL Instant Messenger. That's ParaCafe, P-A-R-A-C-A-F-E, during the show, and we'll answer your questions and address your comments on the air. Thanks again from the Paranormal Cafe.
A while back, I had a thought about putting out something called plugs, where I basically advertise or plug the latest podcast related to the paranormal that I've listened to, and maybe even give you a little recap on it. Well, I've decided to add it in the regular podcast instead. So in no particular order, here's some of the latest podcasts that I've listened to, starting with one of my favorites, The Paranormal Cafe, with Rob Simcox and Charlie Silvestri. And they had a really interesting interview with this guy named Oliver Williams, who is the webmaster to a site about John Teeter. And if you've never heard of John Teeter like me, according to the story, he was or is a time traveler from 2036. He time traveled to 1975 to acquire some old computer that they needed in the future, and then he time traveled to 1998, where he actually met his parents, which is kind of weird, and then he met his younger self, which is even weirder. In 2001, he used the internet to post blogs and answer some questions about time travel, and he may have even left some clues of what's to come in the future. So he also managed to fax coast to coast something, and supposedly he went back to his future and nobody's heard from him ever since. So Oliver Williams, he basically just got a lot of the information and blog posts and all that stuff together, and he put it all in that one site. He mentioned something about CERN, which is the Large Hadron Collider that's opening, I think, later this year or next year. I'm not sure. But whether or not you believe this story, it's still quite interesting. So you can listen to that episode. There's different ways of visiting. One's www.theparanormalcafe.com or theparanormalcafe.podomatic.com. And as you listened to the commercial earlier, they're actually doing live shows on Sundays, and if you're interested in listening live, you can go to www.wcoj.com, scroll down to the Paranormal Cafe button, and there you will see a streaming button. If you're like me in Central Time, that's at 9 p.m., and if you're in Eastern Time, it's 10 p.m. till midnight. Some advantages to listening live is that you can ask the interviewee any question that you'd like by just logging on to your instant messenger and adding Rob and Charlie. Their name is ParaCafe, P-A-R-A-C-A-F-E, and they will ask your questions for you. And I actually managed to throw in my 2 cents on the last episode, so please do that. Listen live and support the Paranormal Cafe. Another podcast that I was listening to was The 13 Skulls by TJ. And his last episode was real good. It was actually real informative and funny. And just check it out at www.the13skulls.com or the13skulls.podomatic.com. Also, Age of Revolution with Alex Staples. It's the only podcast where you'll learn about spiders, video games, stars, and even chicken bone experiments all in one podcast. And you can check them out at ax-otms.podomatic.com. Another one is Mysterious Universe, and there's no need for me to tell you that Ben always has the good quality shows, but on the latest MU, on episode 88, one story that interested me was the one about a young boy named Bariska, and he's a supposed reincarnated Martian from the past. And it's real interesting because supposedly this is a kid that's only 7 years old, and yet he has so much knowledge about Martian and Earth's history. But to listen to that story, just visit Project Camelot or just visit Benjamin Grundy's site and download the podcast at www.mysteriousuniverse.org. Also, listen to Eerie Radio. I haven't been able to catch up to all of their podcasts, but I know that they just interviewed Benjamin Grundy, and I listened to that, and it was really entertaining to see them both joke around like that. They're also having a $2 special on their subscription podcast, so check them out at www.eerieradio.com. And I know that my podcast is about UFOs, and that's what I try to keep all my subjects on. But I've been researching some stuff on meditation and energy and karma, crystals, and so on. And I came across a really good podcast. It's called Conscious Living with Lisa Gallas. And you can check her out at www.spiritualhealing-godsway.org. Or just look up Lisa Gallas. That's L-I-S-A. And her last name is G-A-W-L-A-S on Podomatic.com. And for those of you who are more hardcore on the UFO subjects, check out www.theparacast.com. Those guys are amazing. They have so much knowledge, it's not even funny. But there are so many more podcasts that I do listen to, but I haven't been able to catch up on all of them. But for now, you can definitely check those out. Those will keep you busy. Well, that's pretty much all I have for this episode. I appreciate you downloading and listening to it, and I hope it wasn't too painful for you. I'm still learning how to do this whole podcasting. I know it's episode 10, but in reality, I think I probably might have done 5 or 6 that are I would actually call episodes. But let's hope for the best that I learn from my experiences and that I get better at this. And you will happen to enjoy it even more. So thanks again for listening, and stick around for the after show. Wow, I hope that wasn't too painful for you guys. Welcome to the after show. This is the part that I usually don't edit. I mean, I try my best not to ever edit it. But I just realized that a lot of things were wrong with the podcast or my recordings, and things were just out of place, and I had to edit, and it was just a big mess. So I'm real sorry for putting you guys through all that. I'm like I said in the beginning of the show, I'm still learning. or as I said at the end of the show, I'm still learning from my experiences. I screw up a lot, and to be honest with you, I'm pretty lazy when it comes to just doing all the editing part, and there is a lot of editing to do because I screw up quite a bit. And really, I mean, the talking part is great. I mean, I like talking. It's just that reading is difficult for me because I'm trying to sound intellectual, I guess you could say. And it's a little hard because you have to have this breathing down and you have to have the reading down. And there's certain ways of doing things and you don't know unless you try. Let's just put it that way. But like I said, it's real difficult for me to do all that. And with my schedule and all that, it's real hard for me to just get on the microphone and start recording. As Benjamin Grundy would say, he used to get up and, you know, record on at ridiculous hours. Well, that's me right now. I pretty much just stay up, you know, past midnight and start recording because that's when everybody goes to bed. And in hopes that, you know, I don't wake up anybody while I'm talking. So, you know, I just want to say to everybody, thanks for sticking around, for listening. And I do get quite a few emails, you know, from people saying, you know, what's going on with the podcast and are you doing okay and all that. And so I appreciate you guys. There has been quite a lot going on in my life right now. We, you know, just the recent thing that happened was that I had my wisdom teeth taken out, and taking them out was the easy part. It's the part when one of your wisdom teeth has an infection that, you know, it's just so painful, and you don't get your sleep, you don't get your food intake, and I mean everything screws up because of one small thing, you know, one small tooth. But I mean, I'm doing a lot better. And the thing is that I got so used to going to sleep early, or at least trying to go to sleep early after I had my surgery, because I was, you know, taking medications, and I think I just got used to it. And so it's hard for me to stay up past, you know, 11 o'clock now. Just the other night, Sunday night, I was listening or trying to listen to the Paranormal Cafe live on their streaming, and I couldn't get it to work. And I sent Charlie a message, and I don't know what happened. I just remember waking up next to my laptop, and it was like 1 a.m. I was like, oh, oops, fell asleep. But he finally did ask me, you know, if it was better, and I missed the show. So if you're listening to Charlie, that's what happened. Sorry about that. So that's pretty much what's going on with me, you know, apart from the family and all that other stuff. You know, we just had all these holidays that went through. So that was also another reason why it was so hard for me to record. And I want to talk to you about something exciting that happened here locally. I'm in Fort Worth right now. And the other day, I was just looking up in the sky, and I noticed there was, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 planes just spraying the hell out of the sky. I sent my buddy TJ, who lives in Fort Worth, he also does a podcast. I sent him an email, and within a few minutes he's like, man, that's crazy, you know, that's just synchronicity at its best. You know, he told me that he happened to look up, and him and some people that he knows were talking about the same exact thing. And I managed to take a picture, but it's not very good, so I won't even show you guys. But I don't know what it is, but right now, as of lately, I've seen a lot of planes just passing back to back, just all over the place, at least here in the DFW area, which is Dallas-Fort Worth. If anybody else out there is from DFW, let me know what you've seen. And if you've taken pictures, you know, send them to me at solidjade@yahoo.com or AOL.com. I'd be interested to know about that. I just thought that was kind of neat. Not neat in the fact that they were spraying, but the fact that, you know, TJ and I were both pretty much just looking up in the sky at the same time. You'd be surprised the stuff that you see if you just look. I mean, normally you don't think about it, but I guess as of lately, as I said on the last podcast, I've been looking up in the sky quite a bit ever since the Stephenville incident. I keep my camera, my actual video camera, in my car with me at all times. And I try to look up and see what's going on. I try to keep it charged and ready to go. But for this spraying, I mean, it wouldn't have been a good thing to show. It just doesn't show on camera. It's something you have to see. But I don't know what else to tell you guys. I'm sure I'll think of something later on, but it's about 1 in the morning here, and I'm pretty beat, so I think I'm going to call it a night. And I'm actually recording this before I edit and put the whole show together. So tomorrow I will have this show. I'll put it all together and hopefully have it for you guys for, I guess it'd be Wednesday night. So Thursday morning, if you guys are listening, or whenever it is that you listen, I hope you're you enjoyed it. So thanks again for listening. If you have any ideas as far as what I could call my podcast, because, I mean, Solely Jay's UFO podcast, I don't know about all that. I want to name it something that, you know, has its own name. And I do try to keep it where it has to do with UFOs, because that's what I'm mostly into. So if anybody has any ideas, just send them my way, or I'm just going to call it Solely UFOs or something like that, because I don't know what else to call it. And after I decide on a good name, I may decide to go pro with Podomatic, and then we should have some better quality shows, because once I get a little hang of all this stuff better, I plan on getting, you know, a better computer and a better microphone, and hopefully just take it a little more seriously at looking for stuff to record about and talk about for you guys. So if any ideas, just let me know, okay, guys? Well, you have a great day.